to another episode of Cinemazing Chats. We talked about the film that everyone's been talking about, that's been on everyone's mind. It's the biggest, most expensive, most elaborate movie ever made. That's right, we talked about 1995's Waterworld.
Woo!
I'm here with Erica.
Hey.
And I'm Pablo. What did we think of this movie?
I was very offended by Kevin Costner's role. Character.
Well, like, it starts off from the wrong foot when Kevin Costner is shown to pee into some sort of device that turns that into drinkable water, like potable water, and he drinks that instead. Apparently this is his entire life, as we're led to believe it. He just goes around on his boat drinking water and peeing it, and then maybe eating some food, I guess.
Oh, and growing a lime tree.
Oh, yes. This movie also has sort of a Wall-E-esque thing where there's no land. As its title suggests, it is a water world.
It's actually, like, kind of topical being, like, about climate change, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's totally our actual future, but it doesn't make it any good.
Yeah. Wait, okay, so how did he get the limes? Because... would a lime seed grow that had been underwater under salt water for a long time?
Probably not, but I feel like they're playing pretty fast and loose with the scientific principles they're using.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's basically like the post-apocalyptic Mary Sue. Like, he's got a super nice boat. He's got shit no one else has, like a actual plant.
He's basically Aquaman, because we find out he has gills at some point.
Yeah, so he can do way more in the water than everyone else can. He's into water sports.
Yeah, that's introduced by the very beginning.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just make this clear.
I have to say, I found this movie to be very unexpected in certain parts, as far as where it went with, like, threats of sexual violence and stuff. It's like, what?
It was much darker than I was expecting.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot of, like physical violence and also, yeah, sexual violence. Even in, like, the first little town or whatever, the atoll that Kevin Costner goes into, isn't someone like, give us your semen?
Oh, yeah. This economy is all based on that. That's their standard.
And they're, like, about to, like, attack him to, like, get a seat or something.
Oh, God. So, you can definitely tell that they were trying really hard to rip off Mad Max with this movie, to the point where the cinematographer also worked on Mad Max 2. And, yeah, the way this film is shot is good. That's probably not the bad part about it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I feel like someone was just sitting around, like, drunk or something. They're like, what about Mad Max, but on water? Like, but
yeah,
wet
basically.
Instead of dry.
Which then made me think, if Burning Man was sort of invented when they ripped off Mad Max to make, like, a camping excursion, why don't they rip off Waterworld and do an all-on-water sort of Burning Man event?
Yeah, a water man.
Yeah, this would be a totally improvement. I was delighted to discover that the director of this movie, Kevin Reynolds, had also directed Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, which is also a terrible movie. And also made me wonder, why did Kevin Costner want to work with him again? But then it sounds like at some point that director left, and maybe Kevin Costner just took it on. He was, like, really into the world of Waterworld, and he wanted to bring it into the mass.
Wow. Yeah, it was just like one Kevin replaced another Kevin as director.
Like, one Kevin's as good as another.
But yeah, if he had, like, such a part in this, like, directing and, or half directing and starring and co-producing, makes me question his, like, taste because of how horrible his character was.
I mean, he also made The Postman, and that movie's terrible.
What's that?
It's another post-apocalyptic movie. It's like a wandering postman who has to deliver the last letter or something like that.
Oh, God.
Similarly bad. One of the writers on this movie, David Toh, he also wrote the Chronicles of Riddick movies.
Wow.
Wow, like, wow, such a D&D guy or something. He loves coming up with these scenarios.
Oh, this says that Waterworld's release was accompanied by a video game. How can we play this video game?
Probably in illegal ways, but I'm sure it's terrible. Oh yeah, it says it came out for the SNES, Game Boy, Virtual Boy, and PC. I want to play that Virtual Boy version. It's kind of interesting that one of the better things to come out of this movie was the Universal Stunt Show Spectacular based on Waterworld. Just a bunch of people flipping into water and shit.
Oh yeah. I would love for like a Waterworld themed water park at Universal or something.
In like a water world?
Yeah, exactly. But it's just decorated post-apocalyptically and you have like shitty rafts instead of nice inner tubes or something, I don't know.
Yeah. Apparently there's also a novelization and a comic book.
My God.
No one can stop the water world. I don't know. We've watched a lot of bad movies for this podcast, but this one actually made me upset. Just because it seemed like a lot of wasted potential.
Yeah, I just kept wanting to intervene between Kevin Costner and the like lady. Like, stop mistreating her.
What even actually happens in this movie? Okay, there's like Kevin Costner, some guy called the Mariner, and he's just wandering around on his boat, peeing into his machine. Meanwhile, Rutger Hauer is the leader of this other gang called the Smokers, and they're all trying to find this girl who has a map on her back to dry land, a mythical ordained promised land.
Oh yeah, I guess it's been so many hundreds of years that they don't even believe that people, not everyone even knows that people used to have land.
Yeah.
You would think that they might realize that and like understand what had happened, but I guess it's just too far removed.
It's also kind of funny because in the other Mad Max movies, the dilemma always has something to do with fuel or water or like a good place to live. In this case, I guess they're trying to invert that, but instead it's just like a lot of boring shots of people being on water and using jet skis and jumping
Oh
on
my God.
water skis.
There's so many jet skis and like stunting with jet skis. Oh, and the jet skis would like come out from underwater. They could go down in the water, so they're just always launching at different places.
Yeah. Oh, one of the best trivia that we found on this was that Kevin Costner apparently made them pay millions to digitally enhance his hairline. This was pre the prequels of Star Wars. I also thought in the scene where he drinks his own pee or whatever, he does a lot of like comedic business, like he's gargling with it and stuff. Like, is this really necessary? Is this
Oh,
what we
yeah.
want Waterworld to be about?
It's actually just trying to freak the audience out.
Yeah. The outfits were fine. I had no problem with the outfits.
Yeah, I feel like that must have been where a lot of the budget went, was like jet skis and then a lot of like
Crazy
perfectly
clothes.
decorated like net outfits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I always forget, but the little girl was named Enola, like the Enola Gay, which is the name of one of the planes that dropped a nuclear bomb. And then her guardian, Helen, is played by Jean Triplehorn, who is apparently a pretty big actress. Oh, Kevin Costner plays a pan flute. That's pretty magical.
Oh yeah, there are like different like groups of people. Like there's the Drifters, which is Kevin Costner, who I guess they just make money as they go. And then there's the smokers that they literally are, they're addicted to cigarettes, which I don't know where they're getting tobacco and cigarettes this whole time to smoke, but
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
they're vicious. And then I guess there are just the people who live on the floating communities.
This movie felt particularly to be like peak Hollywood of the 90s. Just all their bad instincts rolled into one film.
It's not unlike You've Got Mail from a similar time with how bad the guy treats the woman.
Oh yes, that similarity and nothing else. There's a lot of toxic masculinity and him treating the female character pretty badly.
Yeah, he cuts the mom and daughter's hair and like is always slapping him around. It's awful.
Let's see, doesn't this movie start with him trying to just barter with some guy?
Yeah, he's on a routine drifter sale, I guess, but he gets discovered as being a mutant with the gills, which I guess are just, like, behind his ears.
Oh, yeah, I feel like they're more noticeable.
Yeah, some guy's just like, let me grab your ear. He's a muto! A muto! Whatever they called them.
Yeah. Oh, and then the other character is just some, like, broad ethnic stereotype, like, barely even a character. Just some, like, Italian guy or something.
Yes.
And then he steals the limes and lemons off of his boat.
Oh, yeah, the other drifter guy. Yeah. Yeah, it's like the drifter code is that, like, there's always an exchange and nothing in Waterworld's free. I was like, sounds just like today.
Yeah. Well, right before we see the shark, right before we see the gill reveal, we pass by a shark, which is very Jaws reminiscent.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Costner does some weird, annoying thing to a bunch of kids. Like, he's just shining some light at them through a mirror.
Yeah, that's, like, the first hint that he's a douche.
Yeah, he's just a jerk. He's just trying to blind some kids with a mirror. It's like, here you go, kids.
Yeah, instead of just being like, hey, can I, pay you to, like, watch my stuff, he's just, like, messing with them and laughing.
Let's see, then he goes to trade some dirt, and the guy's, like, very excited about it. He's like, I'm gonna pay you millions for this dirt.
Oh, I just realized, I bet he bought his lime tree with his, like, dirt and stuff at another place.
Yeah, probably. So we don't find this out until way later in the movie, but I like the whole scene. It's just like he takes Gene Triplehorn's character, Helen, down in a diving bell, down to, like, the post-apocalyptic cities, just all deserted and stuff. It shows him just, like, actually picking up the dirt and bringing it to the surface, and that's how he gets the dirt.
He's like, this is the shittiest of dirt from New York City.
See, the smoker second in command is pretty bad. He's just some, like, blonde, caveman-looking guy.
Oh, yeah, I barely even remember him.
It's like a bad fantasy trope. Oh, I liked in the scene where they introduce the city, they show, like, the background behind Costner, and there's just a bunch of nets everywhere. I was like, oh, that's probably a lot of work for some set designer somewhere. Somebody labored on this.
Someone had a hot glue gun.
Oh, yeah, isn't that also where somebody offers Kevin Costner some money to impregnate their daughter?
Yeah, they do say, yeah, like, we need your seed. But weren't there plenty of people living there? I didn't really understand. They're just like, he is a perfect specimen.
Yeah, they figure out he's a gill man mutant with webbed feet.
And everyone hates mutants.
Yeah, and they have, like, an underwater knife fight with nets. We were all really hoping they'd kill the creepy Aquaman.
Yeah, and finish this movie. But they had that really nasty pit where they're making dirt out of dead people. It was like a mud pit. And it would, like, smell so bad.
Yeah, they toss him into some sort of horrible festering pit. It looks like it stinks.
Yeah.
But instead, Helen and Enola save him. Mm-hmm. And it's all thanks to this creepy grandpa guy looking... This creepy grandpa-looking guy named Gregor, who gets hilariously carried off in a gas balloon because he wants to be the Wizard of Oz or something.
Oh my god, yeah, he's like, oh, sorry, can't rescue all of us.
Whoop, sorry, whoop, whoop. Girls and boys.
I was like, oh, grandpa. Yeah, they had to make a deal with him, and then he's basically just saying that they're even or something, so he doesn't even want to help them.
I was impressed at the restraint they had, that they didn't force the message into this movie, like, oh yeah, this all happened because they burned fossil fuels. All those 90s films always had, like, stuff like that.
Oh yeah, maybe that's why they had the Exxon Valdez show up at the end to be like, We, this is what happened.
It's the worst Planet of the Apes twist ever.
Oh. They call him an ichthy freak and an they just call him a bunch of like ichthy stuff, like the root, talking about fishes.
Yeah, so I'm just like, he's basically Abe Sapien or the Shape of Water creature.
Yeah, he is. Oh yeah, or I was like, this is the offspring of Tom Hanks and the mermaid from Splash.
Yeah.
But also, if there is that much water, like, they probably should actually try to breed that mutation into the population.
That's true. Why wouldn't they? It's a water world. They should all be that.
Yeah.
Like Aquaman.
Yeah, exactly.
So I thought throughout this movie that every scene, it just seemed like they went with whatever the first take was. They're like, good enough. Lock it in. Let's move on.
Well, yeah, some of these fight scenes, though, I can see why they were so expensive. Like when the smokers first show up and all the jet skis are like exploding and everything. Like, they're like, okay, that's it. We did it. That's a wrap. We did that one time and spent a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, the action scenes are fine. They kind of had that 90s hook aesthetic or whatever. But yeah, there's just a lot of scenes of people jumping their jet skis and stuff.
Yeah, flaming jet ski jumps. It's like the most chaotic scenes because there's like people in the foreground and the background like all running around doing stuff. There's like people running jet skis into the wall.
Yeah. One image I actually really liked is they showed overhead footage of all the jet skis driving in. Creating like wake. That was cool.
What was up with the, they were like, they signal with the flags. They're just like, the smokers are just, two of them are like waving flags.
Oh, and I remember thinking, I hope everyone in this weird fort city is destroyed.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad fort city.
The villain, played by Dennis Hopper, is introduced with a weird, stupid push-in. It's just like the camera is really far away and then zooms way into him. And I never liked his costume. I always thought his costume looked dumb.
He has, like, a really prominent, like, cod piece, right?
Oh, for sure.
It's pretty explicit.
But his whole outfit seemed like sort of trying to be Tank Girl or something, but not really getting there.
Yes.
He's like, wears a bunch of mismatched stuff. Like, you're some sort of pirate, but also you're cyberpunk or something. After they destroy the city, or destroy the boat, Dennis Hopper is disfigured, so he loses an eye for the rest of the movie.
Oh gosh, yeah, he's always messing with his eye patch and stuff, and they're kind of trying to do, like, body horror with his eye, kind of.
But I liked how that whole scene basically happens because Kevin Costner does a bunch of stunts on his stupid boats where he, like, flips that pig face man. So his boat is slowly turning while he keeps firing a 40mm gun until it just blows up the other boat. It's like the stupidest strategy ever, and somehow it works.
Yeah. Yeah, Kevin Costner not only is, like, a great swimmer, but he's also, like, the perfect... Yeah, he's a great mariner. He's able to make his ship, like, very fast with the sails and, like...
The mariner.
Yeah, he can sail in circles around you. Oh my gosh. Yeah, he's such a Mary Sue.
Later, when he's kidnapping that woman and her sort of daughter, he, like, does even more tricks where he's just, like, flipping around the boat. Kevin Costner's just like, I really love both. Oh, yeah, I think we've kind of both agreed that Kevin Costner is by far the worst part of his own movie, or whatever this is.
Yeah.
He definitely detracts from everything he does in this movie.
Definitely, oh my gosh. Oh, yeah, okay, so, yeah, because right away... As soon as they get away from the bad guys, he's like, we gotta throw the girl overboard.
Yeah, let's kill this girl.
And I was like, wait, are you serious? And I thought, like, okay, they're gonna make him, like, you know, come around in, like, 2 seconds and he'll be a good guy or whatever. But no, he never comes around.
I don't know. So much of this movie is, like, so dumb, but not in a good way.
Oh my gosh.
Like, every time a jet ski touches anything, it just explodes.
Everything is very explosive in Waterworld.
Pretty sure at some point, Rutger Hauer says, well, excuse me, princess. And I'm like, that's totally copyright violation.
Oh!
We all know that's from the Legend of Zelda show.
I feel like there were a lot of things that shouldn't... They're, like, bad one-liners. Like, the... Deacon says something like, adios, cousins, and I'm like, I have no idea what that means, why he's calling them cousins, but okay.
Well, yeah, like pretty much all of wait, his character's name is Deacon?
Yeah.
All right, I didn't even know that. Okay, so all of Deacon's lines are just like Dennis Hopper do some hilarious improv.
Yeah. Like, do some faces for the camera as we zoom in on your face.
Yeah, just improv this movie and we'll give you money. But yeah, the very next scene after Kevin Costner rescues the two, the girl and the woman, it's basically him addressing some tortured people who are just like strung up on spokes, almost as if they're being crucified.
Oh, wait, what?
It's basically exposition. So you figure out why he's after the little girl.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, I do remember that. Yeah, he's torturing them to get information, yeah. Oh my gosh.
But the whole scene is basically just like, Dennis Hopper, do something funny. Say something weird. We didn't bother writing this part, so just do something.
He's almost like Steve Urkel, like, did I do that? But he's like, did I say that? Or something like that.
They're like, Arnold, do another joke to save this movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember his right-hand man, because then his right-hand man kills the guy hanging up, yeah.
Yeah, the worst. But so much of this movie is just Kevin Costner hanging out with Gene Triplehorn's character and then the little girl on the boat being variously like, I'm so hard-ass, I'm such a badass, I'm just going to threaten this girl. And then the rest of it's him having, like, zero chemistry with Helen. While she is also, like, I don't know, trying to use, how would you describe it?
What's her motivation?
No, how she's trying to, like, manipulate him.
Oh, yeah, well, at first she just, like, slips off one shoulder of her dress and is completely nude. And she's trying to be, like, I'll basically give you sex in exchange for, like, helping us. Is she trying to get to dry land?
Yeah.
But yeah, it did seem like there was just like a lot of arguing between Helen and the Mariner at the beginning. Like, she's just like, no, you will not throw her overboard and like, stop yelling at her or yelling at me or like whatever they're arguing about.
She threatens him with a harpoon gun and at the same time is holding a dress up to her body that she just took off.
Oh, that's right. Oh my god. Yeah, there's a lot of harpooning in this.
But instead, doesn't the boat explode or something? The boat?
Probably. Seems likely.
Yeah, for whatever reason, he gets angry at her and cuts her hair off, and then the next scene you see the little girl also has her hair cut, so we can infer that he did the same thing to her.
Yeah, he was mad about something they did, messed with the sail, or because the girl drew on something, or...
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god, yeah, we have to talk about the girl's shitty drawings.
Yeah, the girl has some shitty drawings.
Like, the grandpa guy calls her the prodigal child, and I'm just like, wait, is she actually, like... Do her drawings mean something? But that no, she's just drawing what she sees, like with stick figures.
She's just very sensitive, is all.
Yeah, she's an artistic soul.
All right, but I forgot. Even before that, there's another scene of Dennis Hopper just driving around in some car with his two henchmen for no apparent reason.
Oh, yeah, on their big boat thing.
Yeah, they're just like, another interlude. Let's just waste more time.
Is that where they have, like, someone, like, grabs a handful of cigarettes?
Oh, yeah. He's just, like, passing out cigarettes.
It's just,
they're
like,
you're the best smoker boss ever.
Yeah. Piles of cigarettes. Oh, yeah, I could not handle it when, the Mariner, like, knocks out Helen with an oar upside the head. Mm. I think that's the scene where they cut to, like, that's when she got her hair cut, and then... Afterwards, that's when the girl has her haircut, I think.
So I think that's after she was brandishing a spear gun at him.
Oh, okay, never mind then. Jeez, I guess a lot of this violence keeps happening multiple times.
Yeah, but then later in the movie, she hits a guy with a harpoon gun in a plane, so it's like suddenly she's really good at it.
Yeah, that was actually really good aim.
I liked when Enola just straight up asked Mariner, "How many people have you killed?" It's like, this is our hero, he's so dark and twisted.
Oh my gosh.
But then after that's the scene where they go to the underwater city to get the dirt, and then after that they go back up and get attacked by the smokers again.
Yeah, they're basically constantly. Yeah, now they're just being pursued by the smokers, which is very Mad Max.
A lot of this movie also just has sort of the whiff of like the Phantom Menace or something. But this definitely isn't worse than the Star Wars prequels, but it's surely as bad.
Well, I did keep being like, oh my god, he's the best pod racer with his boat.
True. I did like that he carried a Kukri knife, which is just this specific, like, curved knife that looks kind of cool.
Oh yeah, when was he asking for resin? Because I was like, what kind of drugs is he getting?
Oh yeah, I think that's when he's bartering at the city before the smokers find them.
Oh, okay. Oh, and they run into, maybe that's when they run into another drifter too. He like keeps looking for resin.
Yeah, I think he literally means like resin though to like grease up a line or something for fishing.
Oh yeah, when does he fish? He uses himself as bait that one time to go fishing.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna fish.
Yeah, he doesn't get bitten. He just gets like swallowed whole, kind of. So then I guess he's just able to like jump out
Yep.
using his
Oh,
knife.
and in a different scene in the movie, he like leaps out of the water like a dolphin. I like the scene where Enola gets angry and she has this very anime girl delivery. She's like, "She said she was sorry. That means you're supposed to say something back." It's like very Miyazaki or something.
Oh yeah, I feel
She's all
like,
Miyazaki in the face.
yeah, she should have been the main character probably.
They encounter another trader who kind of looks like Robin Williams, and he wants to buy the women.
I know, yeah, this other drifter guy is awful.
And literally all he has to trade is some paper. He's like, I'm gonna trade you paper for those women.
Yeah, and then like you've pointed out, we saw paper, a bunch of paper later in the movie. So it's like, wait.
He's like, even in Waterworld, this isn't worth that much, relatively.
But yeah, it's like such a terrible society. Like Kevin Costner owns Helen or something. Like he's able to trade her having sex for the paper.
Yeah, and even in that situation, he does actually trade her for 45 minutes, but then only later changes his mind. He's like, I'll take 45 minutes of paper time.
Oh yeah, the guy when he's about to have sex with her, he's like, I only get half an hour, half an hour, half an hour, half an hour. He's like whispering in her ear.
Oh yeah, the whole scene's very creepy.
It's so creepy.
Yeah, regrettable gender and sex relations stuff in this movie.
Yes. Oh yeah, and the child can't swim even though they live in a water world.
Oh yeah, the kid's the worst. But before long, they both have Stockholm syndrome as he catches fish and teaches her to swim. There's a scene that's literally the cover from Nirvana. It's
Yeah.
like the Mariner's teaching Enola how to swim, and they just like do that whole cover again.
Yep, a swim montage. Oh yeah, so I guess it's he's like taking after, or he's starting to like them, but he still kind of just like slaps them upside the head and stuff every now and
Yep, he's a real man.
then.
He's the last man standing on ABC or whatever the fuck.
Oh God.
But really, it's Avatar 2, A Fish's Journey.
Yeah, Finding Nemo.
So then there's an elaborate death trap set up where the smokers just leave some jet skis with corpses on them.
They're puppeteering them too. They've got
Yeah.
strings tied around their limbs.
And so the Mariner, like, goes to investigate.
Oh yeah, I did like how they okay, well, everyone had like a different accent in this movie. But I did like how they had mashup languages. Like they said that these people speak Porto Greek. It's interesting.
Oh yeah. I just wrote down, Casey knows what the boat needs to do to clear the net. I think the smokers are trying to capture them. He just like is leaping about on it.
Gosh.
Oh, I think after that scene, Enola gets kidnapped.
Right. Oh yeah, 'cause I had written a note like why did they went diving like while they're being pursued, and they left Enola up on the boat, and I was like, why would they do that at that moment?
I don't know, it's pretty dumb. Oh, and somehow every time they cut back to the smokers, they're drinking some other like product. Like at some point there's Bacardi behind them and Smirnoff, Jack Daniels. There's like Pepsi cans littered across the floor somehow. And then
yeah,
they're just constantly smoking cigarettes. It's like, who bankrolled this movie?
Yeah, let's go be a smoker, Pablo. That's where it's at.
Yep. So they come back to the boat and it's destroyed by a bomb. So then they have the opposite of chemistry and they have a sex scene as the boat is in ruins.
Yeah.
But then Gregor saves them.
Oh my gosh. It's their chemistry is so weird because it's like 1 minute I wrote in my notes, he's yelling and choke holding her being like, why do you believe in something you've never seen? And then the next minute he's all like having sex with her. I'm getting very mixed signals here.
Terrible.
And then Grandpa comes in right in time to interrupt. No, I'm just kidding. He comes after they finish. And yeah, and the child just, Enola just got stolen, kidnapped, and they're just like having sex.
They're like, we'll make a new baby. We don't need this one.
Oh my god.
So they get rescued by Gregor, and then the next scene is they use one of the old jet skis to sneak into the bad guys.
The Exxon
portrait.
Valdez.
The Exxon Valdez, you find out later. And so the bad guy's constantly threatening to blow them up. Mm? I wrote down that this was a good moment. That's like a Legend of the Mariner. He just like to get on board, violently chokes some guy. Just like sneaks up behind some guy. I'm like, wow, jeez.
Yeah, he has. He's killed way more than 10 or 15 people, I'm sure. Oh, I did like, there's a scene with the girl when she, because she's kidnapped, so they're also like showing her with the bad guy while they're breaking in to save her. And she's saying stuff to them about the guy, the mutant guy, is saying like, he's even meaner than you are. And I'm like, that's accurate.
He's so mean.
Yeah, he's so mean.
I want to see all these super cuts of, like, precocious kids telling the villain that their parent figure is going to beat them up or whatever.
I know.
It's got to be a lot.
Oh my gosh.
You're not very good, mister, but the guy I know is worse.
Yeah. He's super abusive. He'll know exactly what to do with you.
At some point, somebody drops the hard R word, and I'm like, oh, wow, the 90s.
Oh, that was awful, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, so then he confronts them all, and he's like, I'm going to blow up your boat if you don't give me the girl. And they're like, oh, yeah, you're not going to do it. And then he just drops the pipe bomb down, kills most of the people on the boat.
Yeah, all the smokers. It's kind of...
All the smokers just go up.
Now he's killed, like, thousands of people in his life.
Yeah.
How do they get out of there? Somehow, like, it explodes under the boat, but they're okay on the top deck, and they get out of there.
There's also a lot of flares in this movie. They're constantly using flares. I guess it's kind of a Titanic situation where the lower decks are going down first.
Right. Oh, yeah, because there's the guy that they've shown in the boiler room who doesn't have any sunlight at all, and he's just, like, held captive by the deacon. Like, when the explosion comes to the boiler room, he's just, like... oh, thank God. And then he dies.
Oh, yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah,
that was actually maybe, like, the only actually kind of dark comedy funny thing in the movie.
Yeah, one good moment, this guy's torturous existence is brought to an end.
And just, yeah, the way he's like, oh, thank God.
I can go now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and the deacon says that Kevin Costner's like a turd that won't flush. Do they even have running water and toilets?
I assume they just poop into the water.
Yeah. Oh my god.
So then they're all converging on Enola, who... I guess they knocked her off the boat, the balloon.
Oh yeah, she's the, like, falls, yeah.
So they're all, like, trying to get her, including the deacon and all those bad guys. And the Mariner basically just a bungee jump out of nowhere. I'm sure they didn't have bungee rope on them.
Okay, but it's so amazing because they're the exact perfect height the string, the bungee rope is exactly the right height to land him right at the water. He perfectly grabs Enola and then flies up. And then the people on, there's more exploding jet skis because they collide.
It's not luck, Erica. It's destiny.
Oh my god, it is.
But yeah, then that's how they take out the bad guy. He just like blows up in a fiery storm of jet ski parts. It's really
oh
dumb.
My god. It's almost like cartoonish. Yeah, like the bungee jump. Whoop, and it almost feels like a Looney Tune cartoon.
Let's see, at some point, Kevin Costner throws a hook onto a plane and pulls it down. And he's lucky he didn't blow it up. That's why Noah wasn't killed.
Oh my god. Okay, but this movie, it does have a happy ending.
Oh yeah, so then they are just in the water again, in the water world. And they figure out that they can actually follow Enola's back tattoo. And then a bird lands on the boat, so they know they're going the right way, which I'm pretty sure is some sort of biblical reference or something. And you can also think of the story of Noah or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We all know Kevin Costner is a good Christian.
Oh my god, yeah, this was actually Noah, the Aronofsky film.
Noah Origins. Oh yeah, I also thought throughout this movie the soundtrack was really underwhelming when it should have been, like, more exciting.
The soundtrack was incredibly strange, and I was looking up, I guess it's just its own compositions, but it's just, like, weird music.
Oh yeah, and throughout the movie they also drop songs from our history, which I guess is supposed to be the future, but it's very disconcerting when this movie's happening and they just, like, put in a random rock song.
Yes, wait, yeah, what were the songs?
I don't know. I'm sure you can grab the complete Waterworld soundtrack on a
WB Amazon,
Records or whatever.
But I don't see any on Spotify.
Says it had two different people who did the music, Mark Ishman and James Newton Howard. Oh, and at some point they had an entire expensive, massive lot just burned down. And they had to rebuild it.
Oh my god, they had the set burned
down?
Which
is part of the reason why they, such an expensive movie.
Oh, and I didn't realize, I mean, I was wondering if that was the case, but I didn't realize that that was the top of Mount Everest. That was the dry land.
Oh, well, that's dumb, but I guess that makes sense.
It makes sense. Yeah, I was wondering that, but they never actually said that. And then I was like, come on, like, no one had ever, like, stumbled upon this area before, like, if everyone's on boats boating around.
Oh yeah, it makes no sense.
Because, yeah, they just find, like, uninhabited land.
I guess the implication is that the girl's parents died there and tattooed her back or something?
Yeah, and I guess somehow she got sent off somewhere. They knew they were dying or something. So there are, like, a few huts, but everyone's dead.
They also try to connect with some weird music box analogy, but doesn't really work.
Oh, yeah, there's, like, a whole, like, National Geographic product placement because she has, like, a magazine picture. She just has, like, some stuff that shows that she came from dry land or whatever.
Oh, I also noticed that the girl who plays Enola actually went on to act in a few other things. She was the girl in Napoleon Dynamite. She's in Veronica Mars. And maybe some episodes of True Blood.
Hmm.
She wanted to have a pretty decent career, not that. I mean, her character is basically Newt from Aliens. Get what they're doing there with that character.
Oh yeah, but then the happy ending is that the mariner is just like, the sounds and the feel of the land is horrible, like I gotta get back to the water. So then
yeah,
everyone gets to have
irony or something.
Yes, but then everyone gets to have dry land and they don't have to be abused by the mariner anymore, so yay.
Yeah, they get to tell the story to the children. They're like, and that's the legend of the mariner, this horrible, abusive man who'll come and save you if you're lucky.
Oh my god.
Please enjoy. Oh, the guy who directed this also directed Red Dawn. That makes perfect sense. I don't know. A lot of lucky things had to converge for this movie to happen, and that's just very sad.
Mm?
How many homes were bought thanks to Waterworld? Maybe it was all worth it in the end.
Wow, so many, like, weird facts about this.
like one of those cursed movies.
Yeah.
Nobody bounced back from this, really. Kevin Costner never really reached his own success again. The director never really did anything as big.
No one bungeed the same way they bungeed in the movie. No one bounced back from this.
Oh yeah, it wasn't like a bungee. It was like sand.
Coarse and rough. Oh my God. Wow. So yeah, they made these actual like 60-foot trimarans or whatever to film.
Ugh. It sounds like the worst James Cameron movie. They're like, he's like, everyone has to love boats and the water and fish.
Yeah, we need $100 million worth of Kawasaki jet skis, stat.
We need 100,000 dildos to keep our staff entertained.
50 of them are for Kevin Costner.
I bet this is just some like weird tax write-off. I'm gonna work my vacation into my film career. Adam Sandler type scam.
He's like, I love boats and boating and being on the water. Well, I feel like I need one of those dresses where you just like take off the shoulder and then you're naked. That's what I learned from this movie.
Yeah, for our bleak future in which all women have to trade sex so they don't get thrown overboard. Also known as Water Burning Man.
My God. Oh, I did want to say, so the movie I saw closest in time to this one was Shazam.
Oh yeah.
And so that's a 2019 movie, and Waterworld's 1995, so that's like a 20 something, 24 year difference. But I feel like, okay, I feel like Shazam was very anti abuse. Like, and like they make the villain, like the opening scene is the guy who becomes the villain, and he's surrounded by his brother and dad who are like, man up. And it's like toxic masculinity making him into this like villain. And then there are other instances of like Shazam's mom is abused by men and stuff like that. So I'm like, well, at least there's hope that like we can change the tone of the culture, I guess.
Well, that's weirdly prescient.
Yeah, because this was like the complete opposite. This was like glorifying the Mariner's behavior.
He's a true abusive man. And so you have to be. It's the only way, and then at the end they'll be like, please don't go, Mariner. Because the Stockholm will have worked.
I feel like he needs a song, like a legend song, like The Legend of the Mariner. You don't know how many people he's killed.
No
He'll
one knew.
come to
In the
you in the middle
thousands.
of the night and chokehold you and cut your hair.
God. Yeah, there's nothing very admirable about him at all. A character you'll struggle to relate with, says all the reviews.
Like, they went too extreme. Like, there's definitely a trope of like a redeemable anti-hero who you realize he's just tough because he's suffered abuse and he actually loves kids and loves women. But this guy is not, like, they never show him actually like loving them. So he never really changes, I feel like. He kind of ends up enjoying their company a little bit, but then he's still pretty cruel.
I mean, I guess they probably just based him on Mel Gibson's character from those movies, but I don't know.
No.
Kind of a stupid trope.
I guess he does say that Enola is his friend and that's why he's saving her. I guess he comes around by the very end when he's blowing up the ship.
Yeah. I guess that's also trying to be biblical, maybe. They're like, even this asshole can be good.
Oh my gosh. Even if he sells you into sex slavery,
He'll
he'll
change his
come
mind
he'll
and
change his mind and save you. And he's still a good guy.
but only if he remembers to. Like, oh shit, who's gonna save that lady? Oh
He might be busy drinking his urine. It's a valid thing.
He's always very busy drinking his own urine. I'm gargling with it for some reason. Ugh. And that's the best the movie ever gets.
Yeah, I feel like at the end of this movie, I feel like the guy in the boiler room sums up my entire feelings of this movie ending, which is just like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, that's the intended effect at the end of the movie.
We are all the man in the boiler room.
We're all released from this burden of watching Waterworld. Yeah. What a waste.
Hey, it employed a lot of people, Pablo. This jump-started the economy.
Poor Kevin Costner, he was just so young. He's only like 50.
It was 40, I think.
All right, I've said all I need to say about Waterworld. This movie was a real burden.
Yes.
Although it still isn't as bad as Titanic.
No, that's true. Titanic's just boring.
And it's only as bad as the prequels. It's not worse than the prequels. It's not worse. It's
I'd
definitely
rather
as
have
bad.
like ridiculous costumes and like weird premises going on than just being straight up boring.
Should have been a hard R with way more eye gougings and explicit sex. I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh. Well, I guess there was a butt scene, I don't know.
Ugh. Should have been called Women Water World. Water Women World.
That one's just the sirens or something.
Sounds great.
All right, well, let's write the postmodern take on Waterworld, the sirens.
Waterworld 2, The Sirens. It's excellent.
Yeah, from the women's perspective.
I guess you could technically do that. Just find the grown-up version of all these actresses. They just sort of hang out and have conversations.
Yep, and then they like lure Kevin Costner in and steal all his shit.
Killing me won't bring back your goddamn honey. And
Yeah,
they
it's
strap him into
basically
the bee
that.
mask. The daughter's like, sorry, you shouldn't have been such an idiot.
When your own child is like, come on, dad.
Even you in the audience don't particularly care.
Yeah.
Like, oh well. The failing Venezuelan economy.
Oh, well, there's a cool anime that, or an anime that I've only seen a little bit of, but I should watch more of, called, I think it's called Aria, and it's like futuristic gondoliers on a planet like future Venus or something that's been like covered in water, and you get around by gondolier, and that's a much better futuristic water world than this one.
Well, that sounds fun, but it just follows the travails of a bunch of gondoliers, or
It's like super chill. It's like they have interactions with the people that they take around town, and that's, yeah, she's just like a gondolier in training. It's the plot. It's like super chill. That's the tone.
real people get high and then pilot gondoliers.
Basically, it's like the anti-action movie. It's like nothing physically violent happening.
He's like, oh hey, where are you going today?
To the grocery store.
First I bought some eggs or whatever, then I got some
Yeah.
bread.
But yeah, I have nothing else to say about Waterworld.
Well, I think everyone deserved whatever happened to them because of this movie. Just kidding. That was a little too harsh, probably.
Yeah.
But it definitely was one of the worst movies we've ever seen.
Agreed.
All right, that'll do it for episode 21 of Cinemazing Chats about Waterworld. Till next time.
Bye.